If you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, the passage Pastor Andy read a moment ago, we'll be looking in a fresh way at that commission that Jesus gave us. 2020's been a really fun year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. I was trying to think how to describe the year in a word or two and came up with a lot of D words. Without cursing even, I mean, it came up with a lot of D words. And disease, delay, doubt, distortion, deception, discouragement, distraction, division, depression, downturn, discomfort, even death. And those are not really happy words. So I want to preach today about a different D word, as you might expect me to do. Preach about discipleship revisited, disciple making revealed. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, so much for the opportunity today to gather and to sing these great praises to your name, to sing about the cross, to sing about your victory over death, to sing about your promise and how you have set the pattern and you have set our purpose. And I thank you so much for being with us today and gathering us. And We're always thankful when we can have an opportunity now to be in one another's presence and especially to be in your presence together. And we acknowledge your presence here today and we ask your Spirit to work in our hearts, to use your word today, to challenge us, to move us to where you want us to be in our own discipleship, and to create in us a fresh heart, Lord, to follow you, and a fresh heart to make disciples. I thank you for every person here and those listening via online, and I pray that you would work in all of our hearts today and help us to listen to you today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, I hope today the D word that we're going to talk about will kind of turn the tide from negativity and to give hope for the future, give a little perspective for the present, and help us to kind of reshape our thinking around what God is doing in the midst of all of this and what God has planned for 2021 and how His plan is there to involve all of us. And I want to anchor us then into that commission that comes from the past. For the past couple, 3 years, I've really been struggling with discipleship in the Western context and trying to figure out why it's not working well. And I've read at least 15 books in the last year. All focused on that particular thing. Voices from all sides of Christian life, theologians, church planters, strategists, missionaries, church people that do church research. Everybody is saying the same thing. The church has to get back to making disciples. Why isn't it working? Why isn't it multiplying? We've got people that really understand how to do that. But yet, it's still not taking off. And one of the things that's come to my mind, and COVID has actually helped me to see this, is that it's not working well because we have a virus among us. And it's the virus of Western culture. And it's caused us to see church life, to see discipleship, to see our lives in the context, in the culture of the Western world, and that has worked kind of like a virus in us. In the virus, we've had to social distance. In the American culture, Western culture, individualism is the key. It's the one thing we live for, our personal freedoms and what we want to do and how we want to live, and we work very hard to maintain those rights, and we pursue the paths that we want to pursue. That is disconnected with the message of the Bible. We wear masks when we have this virus, and they hide our true identity. We can't really know for sure what's going on behind that mask, and we've done that as well in our culture. We hide behind different kinds of things that we're involved in, different loyalties that we have, different activities, different involvements, and we show an identity to different people in different ways. Different groups see us as this, different groups see us as that. Once again, the identity that we have been given as disciples of Jesus Christ is very distinct and very clear, and actually works as that label, that advertisement to the world that God is up to something, and He's up to something in our lives. Another thing that's happened with the virus is quarantine and for some hospitalization. And in quarantine, those of you that have gone through that, you are inactive. You may be able to do some things because of online stuff, but basically you're separated from people and you begin to shut things down, especially if you're stuck in a hospital trying to recover from something. Well, unfortunately, our Western culture has made us inactive in our world. We try to do a virtual life. We try to do a world that's less and less connected to other people in real transparency and trust. Openness to what people are really going through is kind of shut off from us, and we really walk this road of inactivity while we're very, very busy at the same time. So why preach discipleship? Well, specifically, I want to talk about the issue of following today. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be sending some emails. I hope you'll open those. And I'm going to be talking about a follower of Jesus, what that should look like in the 21st century. Try to put it in a language that we can maybe relate to better, and it will give us a better measuring stick of what we're supposed to be making when we make disciples. So I hope you'll follow along with that. But today, I want to take us back to this commission and to look at it in a different way, look at it in a bigger context. And we'll begin with these. The first verse that Andy read was Matthew 4:19, where Jesus called those first disciples. And He called them. He said, follow Me, very simple, follow Me, and then I will make you fishers of men. That's two sides of the same coin that can't be separated. Now, if you followed their life, if we had a day to go through this and maybe walk through Matthew or any of the Gospels or just look at the picture, what did those disciples, after Jesus called them, what did they see? What did they observe as He took them on this journey with Him? What did they hear? What did they experience as they were with Him, not in a virtual environment, but in a real life setting, eating, sleeping in the same house, walking long journeys together, interacting with friends and enemies, followers, and those who had rejected Him? They watched all of that. They heard His amazing words. They were implanted in their hearts, and just like the other people that were around, they said, He speaks as one who has authority. And of course, the works that Jesus did were unbelievable. Calming waters and walking on the water and feeding thousands and thousands of people out of a very small resource of food. Healing, casting evil demons out of people, releasing them from that evil experience. These disciples saw all of this, and then it came, we got to that great opposition. Jesus was interacting with the local authorities, with the Jewish leaders, and it came to a head, and finally they go to Gethsemane. And what happens in Gethsemane? These followers of Jesus that had been with Him all this time had seen so much and had heard so much and were dealing in their own minds with who this man was. What happened? They left Him. They scattered. They became doubtful. They became afraid. And as things unfolded, the trial, the death, and then comes resurrection. After the resurrection, We don't have time to go into the details, but you know, those disciples were gathered at different times and met Jesus once again. Things begin to happen inside of them, and things begin to change for them. And they had now seen the risen Lord, and they had experienced that. The pieces were coming together for them. And then we go to this mountain, and he calls them together, and he gives them this word, this commission. Today I want us to look at that in three parts. I want us to see following Jesus, the justification for it out of this commission. And then I want us to see the journey. And finally, the joy of following Jesus. And it's all in this commission. I'm not going to break down all of the words of the text today, but I want to look at it in these bigger categories for you. The justification for following Jesus. That first phrase in the commission was, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Now think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. These disciples had seen a lot. They'd heard a lot. They'd come through the death of Jesus and now are with him in the resurrection. And he's gathered them at this critical point. And now he says, all authority has been given to me, where? On earth, but also in heaven. If you think about the election, you know, we elect someone in this country to have great power and great authority. But in Jesus' case, it is all authority. There was nobody over Jesus. He's now King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. We'll see that again in a moment. It's hard to find a worthy leader in our world. But you know, we didn't vote on Jesus. And you don't get to vote on Jesus. He is authority, in authority. He is the king, whether you choose to follow or not, whether you allow him to take over control of your life or not. So that you are justified in following Jesus because he is the one to follow. He is in authority. He is the King of Kings. He passed all of the tests that were given to him. He came and died a sacrificial death after living a sinless life, fulfilling the vocation that was given to him, that had previously been given to Israel, and now he, as God's representative for us in our place, he died for us. Let's look at it how Philippians puts it. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Are you looking for someone to follow? Are you clicking on Facebook so you can get more followers or you find more people to follow? On Instagram, on all these places, are you looking for information from someone? Are you looking for direction from someone? Someone to follow? Someone to get you through where you are in life? Let me recommend to you that you are fully justified in following this Jesus. As we continue that scripture, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of the Father. Why don't we jump ahead to see more justification for following, because we all like to know kind of what is the end of the story. It's not your death in a hospital bed or on hospice somewhere. That's not the end of the story. It's not you accomplishing something great in this world. Here's the end of the story. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll and look into it. I began to weep loudly. No one found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. No one worthy. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and the seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures among the elders, I saw a lamb. He saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense, and the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe," think of the commission, "and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Should we follow this guy? Should we follow this Jewish guy that lived 2,000 years ago on the earth? Are we justified in doing that? Isn't there a better way? Isn't the American way better? Isn't there a better plan out there than this? No. Isn't there a more worthy leader? Why should we follow Jesus? Well, there's a kind of a negative side to it's kind of foolish and dangerous not to. Ephesians 2 tells us you can't save yourself. You can't just jump in there and follow Jesus just because you think, well, maybe this is the best deal out there. You have to have the giver of life give you that desire. You have to join in with him. If you don't, your life will be a failure. It will end in destruction. That's what Matthew 7 says. If you don't, your relationships will fail. They will be unsatisfying. If you don't, you will exchange your life in pursuit of a personal happiness, and you will end up empty. If you don't, you'll be banished for eternity, shut off from God and his presence, while remaining in the presence of Satan, with all the vain, narcissistic, selfish, proud, violent, hateful, perverted people who also rejected Christ. I would suggest that you follow Jesus. He is worthy. Who are you following? Let's look at the journey of following Jesus. Back to the commission, that central part. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples." That's the main imperative. "Of all nations," that's the scope of it, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." That is that commission. I want to present to you today an idea you've probably not really wrestled with and thought about. I want to say to you today that making disciples is the journey. This is what Jesus gave us to do. Now, did he give it just to the Andy Taylors of the world? Who were called out specially to preach the gospel? Did he give it just to them? You won't find any theologian that says that. Every Bible interpreter understands that Jesus gave this commission to every single believer. So if you're here today and confess yourself as a follower of Jesus, this is your commission. And I want to say to you, this is the journey. This is where we need to make a radical shift in our thinking. We have to put disciple-making as the main thing and begin to organize our lives around that. I really believe that's what Jesus did with these disciples. He had prepared them. He had trained them. They'd seen it all. They've heard it. And they would be the ones then that were sent out to do what? To declare to the world that Jesus is in full authority. There's a new king. He's bigger than Caesar. He's bigger than the presidents and the leaders of nations and the popular people and the famous people. He is the greatest of all. He is the way and the truth and the life. He said to us, go make more followers. That's disciple making. Making more followers of Jesus. So that's what your life and my life is to be focused on and organized around. If you were a mechanic and go into work and you never did the work of fixing whatever you're working on, for instance, a car, you never did that work, you would get fired because you weren't doing your job. If you were a homemaker and your job was to keep the home in order and keep the family running well and provide meals and do all of those things, amazing things that homemakers do, but instead you sit and watch TV all day or sit on your phone all day and nothing gets done, the children are ignored, the meals aren't fixed, everything, well, you won't get fired maybe, but that home's not going to run well. If you're a doctor and don't doctor, be sad. If you're a bus driver, a soldier, got many people here today who have served in our military. Imagine the soldiers that never soldier. It is an amazing thing how little disciple making is happening when it's the real core of what Jesus has given us to do. It's on the job training. Why is it the journey? Because when you disciple others, you learn more. You know the gospel better. You know your own story better. You know how to read your Bible better. You grow as you begin to learn, get wisdom from God about how to help other people through their issues and how to help them grow in their faith. You learn endurance. You learn to set an example for others. So it's the pathway in your journey to make you more like Jesus Christ so that then you can help others along in that journey. It's a family adventure. This is something really helpful to us. Paul describes it over and over in all of his writings. One of the best places is in Ephesians 4, where he talks about those pastors and those evangelists and those apostles were called out to prepare, to train the whole body of Christ, and then that body works together as different parts, just it describes it just like the body parts tied in together, and they're all working toward this one goal. They're one, they're unified in this thing, becoming like Christ, into the fullness of Christ, under the leadership of Christ. And so the journey's a family, but we get to do it together. It's not individual. That's why we love to meet in groups. That's why we love to interact in groups and grow together in groups, because it is a journey that we do as a family. It's a marathon. It requires endurance. Hebrews 12, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings closely and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The journey of disciple-making is forward-focused. Paul talked about it when he gave his own testimony to the Philippian church. It's not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on. I make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let those who are mature think this way. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. How much backward thinking do we have? How many of us are regretting the past, living in the past, wishing things could go back like they used to be? Forget it. Get in the process of making disciples. Move forward. Pursue God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The journey is not self-promoting, but Jesus-promoting. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his instrument of his own death daily, and follow me. It's not about you. Most of our church problems would be solved if we would all say, oh, It's really not about me after all, is it? Disciple making requires unselfishness. It requires your time. It requires you listening to people. It requires you to walk with people. It requires me to give my life to another person. The journey is hard and very hard to walk. Matthew 7 says to enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, but those who enter it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard. Discipleship, making disciples, is hard, and those who find it are few. I think in one of the most interesting passages in Luke 10, after Jesus had sent out the disciples to do this mission, and they came back and they said, Jesus, wow, we're rejoicing. Even the demons paid attention to us. They ran because of us. They were subjected to us. And he said, hey, that's not the big thing. But then he separated out and he said to the Father, he took some time to pray and he said, oh, Father, I'm so glad and I'm so full of joy that you have revealed this, not to everybody, but to those who really want to listen, to those who are like babes. And Jesus at that point could see the beauty of all that was going to happen because people were following. Well, what journey are you on? Are you on the disciple-making journey? What are you trying to accomplish in your life? Finally, the joy of following. I love this part. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus pointed always to the harvest with his disciples. He said in the commission that he has the authority. This is what you're supposed to do. And remember, I am with you. At the beginning of Matthew, he was named Emmanuel, God with you. At the end of Matthew, he affirms once again, here I am with you. He gave his very spirit to live in us. So he is with us at all times, and he is with us as we make disciples. John 15, you remember he talks about abiding in him, and he talks about remaining in my love. But then he goes on to talk about all of this is about fruit bearing. The one who gets to taste of the fruit, the one who gets to see the results, he says, I'm doing all of this in you. You abide in me so that you will bear fruit, and your fruit will remain. It's a beautiful picture. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have from my Father I've made known to you. He appointed us to go and bear fruit that remains. At the end of the Gospel of John, when Jesus shows up on the beach and the disciples have gone out fishing again, and he hollers out from the beach, hey, you guys got any fish? No, we failed. Nothing happened all night. So he said, cast your net on the right side and see how it goes. And they do, and of course they get all these fish, and John says to Peter, it's the Lord. Peter jumps out of the boat. Joy, he leaves the others to pull in the fish, and he gets to the shore. Because of why? He experienced the joy of being with Jesus, and Jesus reconfirmed his identity as his follower and his leader. And he gave to them that joy at that moment. He was with them. He's with them to the end of the age. One of my favorite scriptures is 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. As you think about making disciples, there's no greater joy than to see people grow in Christ, see people come to Christ and to grow in Christ. And the only thing I have to show for 33 years in Indonesia are those young men that I invested in and that we were able to see go out all over different places in Indonesia to plant churches and to pastor churches and to be missionaries. And I think about this verse that Paul shared in 1 Thessalonians. He said, for what is our joy, our hope, or crown of boasting before our Lord. Our Lord Jesus at his coming. Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. Get in sync with God's will for your life by becoming a disciple maker. I have a question for you as I finish today. What will it take for you to start making disciples? That's a tough question. For some of it, it's going to require that you get discipled. For some of you, it's going to take a reordering of your schedules. For some of you, you're going to have to sit down and pray and just bring that before the Lord, because he's got some major work to do inside of you before you can go help someone else grow in their faith. For some of you, that's going to mean you're going to have to open that Bible during the week and begin to understand it for yourself. You're going to have to understand how to teach someone else to read that Bible. And there's all kinds of things that may be happening, but what will it take for you to make disciples? Remember, he's the one we're following, Jesus, the one who has all authority. He has commissioned us to be his representatives all over the world. And it is that in the process of making disciples that he directs us to the locations we need to be, to the people we need to be with. And then it is the joy of our life, the fulfillment of our life, the purpose of our life is realized as we join him in making disciples. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and if God is leading you to follow him in a fresh way, I want to encourage you maybe to step down to the front, kneel down here. Pastor Andy will be at the front. I'm going to go outside here and help with the other pastors. If you're here today and you say, hey, I want to be a part of a church that makes disciples, you want to join with us, please come. Let's talk. If you today come and you say, hey, I want to be a member of this church, then I'm beginning to see what that might mean. Yeah, let's have that conversation with you. And maybe some of you today realize you haven't been following Jesus at all. You've been following other voices and other leaders. You've never really entered into that personal relationship with Jesus. And believe me, his arms are open to you today. He is the end of the story. Forever and ever and ever and ever, we will be with him and he will be with us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to look in a fresh way at making disciples today. I pray that you would work in our hearts and that you would bring people to make that decision, that they're going to make the adjustment in their own lives to follow you. They're going to seek after you with a whole heart. They're going to find a way to begin to lead other people to know you. They're going to find a way to share the gospel with their neighbors or with their family members or those in their circle of relationships. They're going to find a way to begin to help people grow in their faith. And in that process, they themselves will become mature. They themselves will see the fruit, see the joy, experience the life that you give in a fresh way. Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you would speak to their hearts right now and draw them to yourself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a decision to make today, you head to that door and Pastor Andy will close us here.
Hey, amen. I want to invite all of you to stand as we prepare for our benediction today. I want to say, I think that this may be the most important message that we've heard this year in this church. This one. This is plan A. There is no plan B. We're going to continue to make disciples. And I'll say it maybe a little more harshly than Charlie will. Whether you get on board or not, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're busy about, because this is what Jesus told us to do, and that's what we want to do. We want to bring glory and honor to Jesus. Not interested in doing church. We're interested in making disciples. Amen? Or oh me. Amen. So thankful that you are here today. So thankful that we were able to hear this message. And I pray that you will take this straight to heart. What are you doing to make disciples? I want to remind you to, if you would, to stop by the tables outside and pick up a budget planning guide and a summary of our ministries for next year, and hope that you'll be a part of that family meeting with us next week. Now, as we close today, again, reminded of the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Veterans, have a wonderful Veterans Day this week. God bless you. And if you want to meet with us, we'll be right out in the hallway.